You're listening to Better Than Fiction with your hosts, D.L. Nelson and Scott Sackett.
All right, welcome back to Better Than Fiction, your pop culture podcast. As always, I'll be your host, D.L. Nelson, joined by my other host,
Scott Sackett.
And you know what, Scott? This will be episode 412.
Woo!
412 episodes. And tonight, we're going to do part three of our walk through the Inkle. And we're starting off here on book four. What's your book four called? Mine's called That Which Is Above.
Okay, I have What Is Above, and then this chapter is called Vidival H2O.
Mine also.
Okay. Now, just to remind our listeners, I am reading from The Humanoids, a single volume called The Inkle by Jodorowsky and Mobius, which is readily available. It's, you know, under $50, I think. Now, you're reading from the three-volume set, which it was put out by Epic in the 90s, 80s, something like that.
I think in the early 90s. Okay. This particular volume is volume two, and it says, well, it says text and copyright 88, so there you go.
Okay. And again, I think I said this last time we recorded on this, or before we've recorded, I would prefer reading from the copies you have. But I don't have, it's three books, I don't have book one and book two. I have book three, and as we said, some of the names are a little bit different, and some of the titles, chapter titles,
the translations were different.
It was different translations. They used the same art, obviously, but these different translations. Also, mine, for some reason, the wording is smaller in the word balloons.
Yeah, that stinks.
It does stink. A little bit harder to read. Anyway,
so on this one, we're going to start out here in book four, and if everybody remembers what was going on, Romeo, I think his name's Romeo, and his group busted on the senators with their ship.
On the Golden Planet.
On the Golden Planet, and he was telling them about the dark egg.
Is it a dark egg or shadow egg?
That was going to envelop the sun.
Yeah, because it had eaten that one sun.
Right, and killed like four planets worth of people or something like that. And, you know, the tables are turned. Some of the people there...
Techno priests,
and then there was I don't recall his name, but the main turncoat and his girlfriend, they absurd power. They shot up the egg, which is the him-her...
Yeah, the egg with the like conjoined male and female,
who was kind of their, not god, but their,
it was like their emperor or something.
Kind of their emperor.
That's kind of this floating egg with these.
I don't think it's. Does it speak though?
I thought it spoke.
Maybe, but it gets shot. It gets knocked out like they killed it, but you don't know what happened to it.
Oh yeah, did they deflate the egg?
Yeah, you don't know what happened to the people.
Or drain the egg.
Occupants inside.
Yeah, it's kind of a struggle, and the gunfire gets hit.
But the, so it's like a coup, basically.
Yeah.
And so, even though Romero, I think it's Romero, and his team were going to, you know, tell all the senators what's going on, they switched on him, and then all of a sudden they got the guns on him, and now they're hostages, and instead of them sending the techno priests or whoever to the Aqui and the prison planet, they get sent to Aqui and the prison planet.
Right, because the techno priest had unleashed this dark egg or black egg or shadow egg or whatever it's called.
Right. So the prison planet is like, it's a water world that's constantly having storms with huge tidal waves.
And right.
No land masses.
Yes.
So they put you on it on a raft, knowing that eventually you're going to fall off the raft.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah,
there's no food either.
Yeah.
So sure enough, they're on this raft, and the drawing looks like they're in the middle of like a 100-foot wave or something. It's crazy big compared to how big they are. And
because their raft is huge.
Yeah, they're also good size. And they fall off of it, but yet they run aground on something, and you find out that what they're running aground on is one of those Medusas. Which looks like a
big jellyfish.
Big giant jellyfish.
Kind of comes out of the water and they're on it like they've been beached on a whale or something.
Right.
And then it floats in the air. And then a man kind of, I guess he's just part of it. It says mine says it's like he's inside the Medusa.
Yeah. And he starts speaking to him. And he gives him, he basically gives him a choice. He goes, you can stay the way you are and, of course, drown. Or we hear like the Medusa here, we can put a thin coating over your skin to where the water won't bother you, and we can take you down to our city under the water, basically. It's
like the Silver Surfer.
Yeah, kind of. And so sure enough,
they coat it in alloy.
They have to go for it. So they all get their thin coating, and then they...
I like the... You're getting ready to flip the page. I like the drawing at the bottom of that page. There's that panel where they're kind of going to the bottom of the ocean or whatever.
Yeah, they're going to the Medusa shaft, maybe.
Maybe like the tentacles. Yeah.
I like the one next to it, because you look at the one next to it, the upper part is kind of a red part, and that's like the water. The water's all red. And then as the panel goes down, it goes into kind of a purple color. I think that's pretty cool, the way that the color effect there.
Yeah.
All right, so next page, they do go down through it, and they pop out, and then they see the egg with the conjoined. And so that conjoined egg ended up, somehow it got to the prison planet also.
Yeah.
It didn't take the raft there like they did, but it got there.
Yeah, right here it says, the Empress, when they kind of come up through the bottom there, you see it's kind of tangled in tentacles and stuff.
Oh, yeah, it does speak, because it says, welcome, faithful Romeo. You thought I perished under the traitor's fire. I'll explain everything while we travel to my hidden fortress. So, yeah, they got out of it, and he's in the, you know, the turncoats threw all the, basically, the good guys in with them, so they didn't perish. Unfortunately, now it's a scene change, and there's a ton of scene changes in this book.
Oh, yeah. This is... If the story was chugging along early on, I think what we're reading now, it starts to shift into high gear.
Yeah, it does. It does. On this one, though, it shows John DeFool, which has got kind of a different-looking face again, sort of.
Yeah.
Almost like his face at the beginning of the story. He says attack, and he's on the ship, which is the ship is
the conjoined Inkle,
right,
with the two halves,
and he's trying to tell it to fire on this dark void.
Yeah,
but they're like, hang on a minute, don't fire at the dark, but they let him do it, and so these missiles go off. He shoots off the missiles, and it hits the dark void, but unfortunately, it breaks into like a million pieces.
Yeah. And they come after him.
Right. And so they're like, you know, it was bad, but you just made it worse. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
It seems like everything John DeFool gets involved in...
Because he's the fool.
He is the fool, and he's headstrong. He doesn't think about anything, really. It seems like to me he doesn't really... All he wants to do is get out of there.
I feel like... And I mean, you know, Jodorowsky's a guy who thinks about like psychology and symbolism and that sort of thing. And I feel like that John DeFool represents something that Jodorowsky believes about man's nature, I don't know if it'd be an ego or an id or a superego or what, but I feel like there's something about man, that human being psychology that Jodorowsky intends John DeFool to represent.
Yeah, well, or maybe the only other one character out of these that would maybe do that would be like Kill Wolfhead. The rest of them are pretty mellow to take it. Even the Meta Baron, you know, he plans and thinks. He doesn't just jump into something. So what does it say? The Berg fleet. The invasion fleet has spotted them and they're coming in.
And, you know, there was a lot of, like, scene changes in dialogue here. For example, it says, meanwhile, Excellency, we've approached Technogea. We've just asked for permission to cross the psychic barrier. And it says, look through, close the opening. And I don't know, I guess this is the techno priest, and I don't know what this ship is, this mushroom-shaped ship is.
Yeah, it's like their space station, right?
I guess it's the Techno Priest space station. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going in here, and the Techno Priests have taken over because they have the former... Now, who was the big guy that was the former, wasn't the emperor, was it? There was the guy and the vote girl.
Right.
Whatever they were, whatever their official title was, we see them on a screen and they've been arrested by these soldiers in purple.
No, he hasn't been arrested. He's right here.
Who is this? Okay, who is this?
This is like the informant, isn't it? This is the spy.
Oh, is that who that is?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So he's the former Mintrek. He's like, I guess is he like the speaker for the Imperix or something? I think that's who that is.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, and so the guy you're talking about says, "You thought you could fool me with such transparent plot, you miserable insect. But my scientists have told me the truth." And so he's hanging this guy up.
Oh, yeah.
He's got him kind of like crucified, sort of, with like around a light thing.
Yeah, some kind of light.
Well, it's basically to torture the guy.
Yeah.
And remember, this is the guy that...
Oh, yeah. That's his granddaughter, right?
It's his niece.
Oh, it's his niece?
Yeah, so...
No. Well, mine, it says my granddaughter.
Does it?
Yeah, in that panel there on the bottom.
Let me see here.
Right there, it says Crystal.
Yeah. That's right here?
Yeah. What's it say in that panel? No. On the other page. Next panel. That panel.
Oh, it is a granddaughter. I thought it was a niece. You're right. It's a granddaughter.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so remember, he was not on their side, but since they captured his granddaughter and froze her like Han Solo in the Carbonite.
Well, they turned her to Crystal.
She's actually frozen.
Her name is Crystal, but they also turned her to Crystal.
Right, and so the Vogue lady, which is the main guy now, his girlfriend or whatever, she breaks her little finger off.
Yeah.
And she later on she's going to threaten to break her nose off. And so he doesn't want his granddaughter to be tortured, so he's going along with whatever they tell him to do.
Yeah.
And so what they're going to tell him to do is, they're going to tell him to go in and basically befriend John DeFool and those guys.
Right.
They're going to send him in as kind of a spy. And they've got him over a barrel big time, so he's got to do what they say. So another scene change, and it's the ship.
In front of Aquaian, the prison planet. And so we see the Inkle is orbiting Aquaian, and these pyramid-shaped, I guess they're like a shuttlecraft or something.
Yeah, they're weird looking, right? They've got a big glass pyramid over the top of them.
Yeah.
And they're flying over the water looking for, I don't think they're actually looking for survivors. They're actually trying
to... Well, yeah, it says, I bet the prisoners don't live very long after they're dumped here.
Right. But are they looking for Medusas here? Is that what they're
doing?
No,
it says this is where the Inkle said we'd be able to find the only substance able to control antimatter. When they shot the shadow egg and broke it apart, they told John DeFool, yeah, you can't do that because it's made of antimatter and nothing will destroy it. So that's what they're looking for, something that will control the shadow egg.
Right. And so you see there's this big sea creature they passed by, so there is life here. And then all of a sudden, one of the Medusas comes up out of the water.
You know what I like? What's his name? Kill Wolfhead?
Yeah.
Still has the hole in his ear.
Yeah, yeah.
In that panel.
So it's funny because some panels Mobius draws really, really nice. Sometimes he's kind of blows off. And that's not the best panel right there, right?
Yeah.
But look at that panel. How much nicer that is.
Yeah, or the one down on the bottom of that same page where they're flying in on the pyramids.
Right.
Yeah.
So they get the word, or they figure out that if they follow the jellyfish, they're gonna go toward the bottom, and they're gonna follow this jellyfish to the bottom. And when they get down there, they find there's an underwater city.
Yeah, like I said, the guy doesn't mention this.
Yeah. And it is pretty cool. It's like a bunch of domes that are kind of hooked together with
tubes. Or a bunch of spheres that are hooked together. Some sort of tube or
and look, the way they've got they're green color, but the way they've got the drawings on it kind of reminds me sort of like little Death Stars in a way, kind of.
Yeah.
So, and then the next page turn is a chapter turn, right?
Yeah. Yep. And it's the Medusa strategy.
The Medusa strategy is right.
Which is the name of the jellyfish creature. And so there's is that an explosion? Is that the planet's core? I guess that's a... It says, this is the end of this planet's sacred core. How very sad. And it's these guru guys or whatever.
You know, they'd come to
watch. I guess they're in the core because it says the garbage is rising up into the cities.
Yeah, and so if you go, it's this is like the city that, and this is the city John DeFool's from?
Maybe.
The panic is raining because there's trash coming up, and so all the occupants are trying to move to higher ground.
Yeah.
Trash is blowing up. And then what you find out is
the bergs are on the surface. Well, no, that's one thing.
Well, but this
they're underground.
But these are the trash guys. Because this guy's the...
Oh, the mutants. Yeah, the mutants.
Yeah, the mutants are coming up with the trash. And so it's kind of starting like a panic. And people are getting on these barges to try to get out of there. These big, like, flying barges.
Oh, yeah. It says, mutants from below are riding a tidal wave of garbage into the city. They're killing everyone in their path. And so we have the people underground who are trying to get out of the way of the mutants are coming up, and you see this barge of people.
Overloaded,
yeah, people are falling off. And then I guess it's the city that breaks up through the surface.
I think that's the city that lands on the surface. I think it's kind of
tilted. Oh, the one that fell?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's probably, is this like maybe like right over City Shaft maybe? I don't know for a fact though. So of course, you know, like you got the bergs are flying in, you've got these crystals in space with these almost like watcher guys watching what's going on.
Yeah, they look like Mr. Natural from Robert Crumb.
Yeah, a little bit.
They with the beards kind of bald on top. Oh, so all the people are walking. Oh, okay, so I like this. It says they're orphans now. This is the guru guys talking. They're orphans now, orphans like us who have lost our sacred sun core. And then it says, brothers, the sun core was like a ripened fruit. We are its precious seeds entrusted to the winds. True, we shall teach these men to cultivate the virtues of their earth mother. Yes, let us show them the way. Form a new alliance. Soon these children will learn to reap, to sow, to live.
Yeah, that's great for these people that are like celestial beings looking down on them, but these people that are walking in the dirt, there's nowhere to grow crops around.
Yeah,
there.
Not to mention, what's the life cycle? When you plant a seed, how long does it take to
exactly.
get potatoes?
And they're walking through a barren desert looking place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for the...
Yeah, thanks for the help.
Vote of confidence, Grandpa.
Yeah. Appreciate the help, but no thank you. So then we see the mutants, and they've come into the city.
These are the Amok guys.
Oh, they're the Amok guys.
Yeah, and remember this guy's like Gorgon's the king, and his throne's popped up, and he's going to go sit on his throne down there. And he calls himself the Prez now, since the people have kind of vacated. He's made himself the president or whatever of the city.
Then we get another scene change. We're back to the underwater city on
Aquian.
Aquian.
Yeah.
And I like, this is the Inkle throws in all kinds of stuff right here. There's a thing that says, their telepathic waves test positive on all three levels. We have nothing to fear from them.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but Jodorowsky's throwing in some crazy dialogue evocative of something else going on.
Well, if you look, okay, so you've got, it's almost like an air pocket sort of.
Yeah.
Because the heroes, John DeFool and his group, have landed their ships now. Now, remember, this is underwater.
Yeah.
But they've landed their ships inside of one of those spheres. So their top, the canopies of their ships have come down, and they're standing on it. They're in this air pocket. And then across the way, on top of one of these Medusas, is Romeo and one of the gals he's with.
Oh, yeah.
And they're talking. This is when they're kind of figure out what's really going on between them.
Yeah.
This is like the first meeting of them, right? I do believe so.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm John DeFool, a class, mine says class B, I'm a companion of Beta Baron, please help me. And then the Meta Baron has to kind of
start. Yeah, he steps in and he's like, I've heard of you.
Right.
And Romeo or whatever his name is like, oh, I've heard of you, the Meta Baron.
You're the greatest warrior of legend.
Yeah. It says the greatest threats right now are the Shadow Eggs. Our group is small, but our power is great. And so is that that's Anima talking there, isn't it? Or is it her sister?
I think this is Tantive.
Oh, okay.
Because Anima would have shirt on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's got a shirt on. You can see the collar of it. And then she just basically says, we have a starship, but more importantly, we're bringing us the Inkle. It represents mankind's only chance against the power of great darkness. And it says, the Inkle, what is that? I've never heard of it. Is it a man, a weapon, a cult? What are its powers? And I guess John De, or not John DeWolf, Killhead Wolf.
Killwolfhead.
Killwolfhead says, it's none of those things. It was born on the Empire's most insignificant planet. Is the new light that will one day illuminate the galaxy. It's pure consciousness, a direct emanation of the divine will, the power of God incarnate. Divine will? God? And then, yeah.
And these guys are like, I haven't heard of God mentioned in a long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're trying to sell them that there's something going on, and the people in Medusa are like, what?
Yeah. Oh, and so they're asking, it's like, well, maybe you can perform a miracle. Like, a miracle, why not? And so on the next page, the guy makes the bird makes in his hand appear a rose.
Yeah, Depo flies over there and he creates a rose with using the Inkle power. He creates a rose in Romero's hand. And Romero's like, incredible, it looks like a rose. But that's impossible. A rose, legendary flower, it's been extinct for thousands of years. And then they decide, well, that was a miracle.
Yeah.
Where'd you get a rose at around here?
Yeah.
And so because of that, Romeo and his team and all the Medusa people, I'm going to call them people in air quotes, bring DeFool and his group to meet the Imperix.
Yeah.
And so, well, I guess I was wrong about Tantive, because even though I think that was Tantive over there, this Anima now has clothes on, and she hadn't before, but they've got her in clothes.
Yeah.
Now. So you got John DeFool, he's kind of riding on the back of this whale-looking creature, or swimming by it, or whatever, and he brings Anima a little Medusa flower, and he's asking her if I'm not mistaken, he's asking if they could leave.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what he's always wanting to do, to take her away. And then she's going to do what she does, talk him into something.
Yeah. Yeah. John DeFool's like, I know you love me and you want me. And she's like, do I?
Yeah. And she tells John DeFool, instead of playing at seduction, you should be with Romeo and the Metabaron, hunting wild Medusa at the risk of your life.
And again, I think DeFool is kind of more like your impulse or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and he's not, he in his mind, he's not hero material.
Yeah.
That's not what he's about. He got brought into this, I'm not going to say against his will, but he didn't sign up for this. That's exactly what I was going to say. He did not sign up for this. He got kind of lured into this, kind of trapped into this, and so he's kind of being dragged along with the rest of the team.
Yeah. Okay, then we see the Metabaron. And yes. What are they doing?
Well, they're herding. They're using the small Medusa to herd these huge Medusas.
Oh, okay.
So they got these small Medusas that maybe hold like two or three people inside the dome, and you can see they're taking the small ones. There's about four of them, and they're herding these Medusas that are like way bigger than a house.
Yeah, huge.
And they're herding them into this pen.
Yeah.
And the idea is I think they're gonna kind of like psychically link them all together, unless I'm completely mistaken about that.
Oh, okay. So this is the guy that was in the Medusa originally, or somebody like him, wearing the same kind of goggles and hat. And he says, we found this guy in a wreck, and it's the guy whose granddaughter they turned to crystal.
Yeah, it's Greyfield, my faithful Mentric. And so, yeah. So, unfortunately, the Imperex thinks this guy's still with them, but he's been swayed.
Yeah. And then we see that.
He says, They know you're alive. I was barely able to escape to alert you. And so you see that the techno priest, there's a micro camera that was implanted in Greyfield's eyes when he was like unconscious. He doesn't know it's there. And so they're seeing what he sees through his eyeball.
Yeah. And they're like, what's that flying pyramid? It's like, it must be the unified Inkle. This isn't very good development.
Right. But, you know, they're still not that concerned.
No.
I think they're a little concerned, but not that concerned. Because the main, I think it's the main bear, Metabear, and he tells them, silence, I've just received a telepathic order from the Great Darkness. The time has come to launch 10,000 Shadow Eggs.
You said Metabear, but it's the Techno Priest.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, my next chapter, now we got a new chapter. It's called Approach.
Why does this come forward?
I still say, I think if you were going to read this, the way to read it would be, I feel like these chapters were probably in a single issue of Heavy Metal. So if you wanted to be, you know, authentic, you should read one chapter a month.
Oh, man, it'd take too long.
It would take a while, but...
No, I would not. It would be too tedious for me. Okay. I would not do that. But, I mean, it probably came out that way.
Guess what? I'm pretty sure it's the way it came out.
Yeah, in Merrill Hurlant, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
But still...
But it came out over, like, 10 years.
Yeah,
I think.
Exactly.
I think we're holding 10 years worth of material.
I couldn't do it. I'd have to collect them or something.
I think what you need to... if you want to read it... I'm not saying read a chapter a month or whatever, but maybe a week, one a week or one... But I think the way to go is to read a chapter at a time.
Yeah, but a chapter can be short, though. Not very many pages at all. Yep. Or it could be a few. I mean, it's a little... I don't think it's always a set number.
No, it's not. That would last... the one we're getting ready, I think it's like 10 pages.
Yeah, so that wouldn't... I couldn't do that wait a month to read a few little bit more.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously in Heavy Metal, you had other stuff to read, too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. All right, so this chapter come forward. It says... Are you crazy? I won't do it. You want me to? You want to drop me alone on a Berg homeworld, face to beak, with those goddamn parakeets, and you want me to impregnate some kind of queen too? No way. 1,000 times no. So, once again, they got John to fool. They got him suckered to go and try to do.
Yeah, something. They got some kind of plan.
Right. Only he can do. And so what you find out is the Meta Baron's going to train him. In unarmed combat, or maybe sword combat.
Yeah.
And the plan is they, like, once every, I forgot how often, but the Berg,
is it 10,000 years?
I didn't think it was that long, but maybe it is. But there's like a group that goes to the Berg homeworld, and whoever, and they have combat.
Yeah.
And whoever gets to the top can...
Was this where... Yeah, this is where the pyramid was.
Can I almost can't say it.
Impregnate
the queen. But he has no fighting skills, and so the Meta Baron's going to teach him to be a fighter.
Yeah, so he can get to the top of this pyramid. And I'm not really sure what their plan is here. They don't explain what their... I know what they want to do, but I don't know what the...
Yeah, what the goal is.
I'm not sure why. I mean, I find out later what's going on.
Right.
You find out later what happens.
But I think this is funny because they got this, the Meta Baron's got this, like, combat robot.
Yeah, it's in this little box.
And he they turn him on like a 2, and so John DeFool defeats him pretty easily. They put him on a 3, and he's, like, giving John DeFool the business.
Yeah.
And they want John DeFool to be like an 8 or something before he goes into the tournament. But he never gets any higher than... He didn't even make a 6, I don't think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Oh, no, he goes to a 4, and it just, like, wipes him out.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, stop it. Because I turn off, but tomorrow you have to do 6 hours of basic training. Yeah. I felt like this particular sequence was very Star Wars inspired.
Oh, with the swords.
Yeah, it's got the swords, and it's got, like, the robot, you know, and the first Star Wars, you know... Luke was doing the lightsaber against that probe flying thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I think in the movie Dune, there's something like this, isn't there?
The robot, I don't recall.
Yeah, I think there is.
All right, so as he's training, you know, the Metabarian's looking on. Well, the rest of his group are kind of watching on monitors, and they're like,
we're screwed.
Kewopeg goes, no way he'll be ready on time.
Yeah.
And Anima's like, you may be right, Gil. I'll ask the Inkle if I can get some help along, or we can help him basically along.
Yeah, if I can go along and help him, yeah.
Yeah.
So then on Aquaman, they get all the Medusa. I guess they successfully herded them where they need to, and they launch them. They go in off the surface of the planet. It says, what a sight. More than 100,000 mutated Medusa launched against the Shadow Egg. So I guess they're going to send them out. Because this is the thing that they said is the only thing that can affect antimatter, which is what the Shadow Egg is made of.
So it's going to absorb them, I guess, or
something. Yeah. And then it says, let's hope the Metabaron and his team are ready, too. It says the 5,000-year games begin in 12 hours. So it's every 5,000 years they do this competition.
You know, that doesn't seem really... It's a weird number for a writer to come up with 5,000, because it's like they've all heard of this, or somebody's heard of this, but if it's been 5,000 years,
yeah,
this would be like so ancient folklore that no one would remember that, you know, or whatever. You know, this seems kind of hokey to me. But yeah, they're gonna do it. And so what's this thing Kilwifhead's working on here?
It says it's the president's head from the necropod.
Oh yeah, it's a holodeck.
Is that the thing that floats over his head?
No, it's the president talking and says, "I'll kill you, you bastard." It's the thing that John DePaul puts in front of his face in the films, and people back home can see him.
Oh, okay.
Here he is. Here he's like, he uses it and he tells the people back home. He goes, first, the Imperex is still alive, and you can see the these guys going, "Oh no, he's a dangerous jerk. He's broadcasting on the priority channel. We can't scramble him." And so all these people that are kind of like in hiding down in the lower part of the earth, the real people, they're hearing this.
Yeah.
And he's telling them about the traitors it's the traitors and the technos.
Yeah, it says, the traitors, 10,000 shadow eggs are going to attack and devour our sons. We're like, what?
Yeah. So now the people are kind of getting a little concerned, the real people, the lower class people. And so you get back over here on the planet of gold, and you've got, what's his dork here, the guy that's kind of taking over the power, and he's like, this is intolerable. 300 worlds have joined the rebellion. 1,000 more are rioting. Even this planet is being torn apart. And then, meanwhile, his Vogue girlfriend's like, righto, big boy, can't let those peasants walk all over us.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, and it says, meanwhile, oh, you know what? This is where the people, this is the same planet where the people were forced out of the underground cities. And they're growing all these crops now. It says we've sown and planted as you advise, because one of those gurus is on the ground in this crystal thing. It says we've sown and planted as you advise. We've reclaimed and fertilized the ground as you said. We built the villages and roads as you planned. It's very good, my children.
Okay, so they've fertilized. Now we know there's a lot of like fecal matter underground that's been pushed up and
right.
Trash. So maybe they fertilized, but how much time has went by again?
I don't know.
Because I thought this has only been like maybe a day or two.
Yeah. Well, you know, the game was in 12 hours.
Right. So I wonder if they did some kind of time hop. Like if these crystal guys that advised them, if they've did something to make things happen faster. Because this kid walks up and the old guy says, see how the crystal has grown? It is linked to the plants and to the work and works that you've built. It resonates with 11 brothers scattered all across the planet with its 11 brothers.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's because the crystal's planted there and there's all these crystals are resonating and that's what's making these plants.
Well, you know, that's a pretty Mobius thing. And I know you got a couple of Mobius art books and he's always drawing like crystals floating in the air,
yeah,
people floating in them or people carrying them, and Mobius was really into crystals and whatever that's all about. And I'm sure Jodorowsky was right there with him.
Oh yeah. Jodorowsky probably instigated it.
He might have. But Mobius was in on that too. So then you see this guy that apparently this recent escapee from the thing. And he's got a video, like a video screen on his...
Like a Dick Tracy watch.
Yeah, or like a now it'd be a smart watch.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Okay, so look at the bottom panel here. It says, I'm going to... It's this guy. And it's the guy that's like the power guy now.
Yeah.
Which his name's escaping me. But he says, I'm going to Technogea. I want to meet with that techno center of yours. You must do something to stop the insidious propaganda that's tearing my empire apart. Okay. Oh, okay. His name's Imon Herlog, right?
Yes, apparently. He said, but Imon Herlog, our 10,000 shadow eggs will soon herald the new reign of darkness. You will then rule without opposition. So then we go to the Berg homeworld. And that we see this huge, it's a huge coliseum, and you see all these Berg, and then there's a crowd of people in the coliseum, and you see some sort of leader, or the MC or whatever, and you hear the people are talking, one of them goes, I have a feeling there's going to be a beautiful impregnation.
Yeah.
And so what they're getting ready for are these games, and what it is, all these guys are dressed up like gladiators, one of which is John DeFool.
Yes, yeah, this kind of actually reminds me a little bit of the movie Gladiator.
Yeah.
Because they're all standing out there. It's almost like, we here who are prepared to die, we salute you.
Yeah. And the bird calls off, now be prepared for ascension to the sacred cone. And they pull back. We see the inside of the column. All these guys are lined up. And they're quite a ways away from this huge cone. And the thing is they charge towards the cone.
But how many guys are there? Look at this drawing here.
Oh, thousands of
guys around it.
But the thing is like the guy that gets to the top gets to impregnate the proto queen.
Right.
And we find out the significance of that later when it happens.
Right.
And so they're going along, and John DeFool is like making some progress. We see all these people swarming up this thing.
Yeah, so you can either try to run up it or you can fight people along the way, either way. If you stop to fight though, meanwhile other people are gonna be running up it. So
yeah.
So there's just thousands of people going up it. But if you see this long shot here, there's a lot of blood dripping down it too from all the deaths, and people are getting stepped over on the way up there.
Yeah, and so then we see that there's one guy that's kind of holding everybody off, and he's almost to the top. He's got his arm on the top. And all of a sudden, we see John DeFool flying through the air. And they're like, hey, he's cheating. It's like, nope, there's no rules.
Yeah, so what happens is they use the Inkle's power.
Yeah.
Because they're watching it on a video screen. They're like,
he's
not going to make it. He's too far back. And so... they use the Inkle's power to like levitate him above the crowd, and he goes not only to hop over the crowd, but he goes upwards, and he ends up getting to the very top, just right ahead of the guy that made it to the top.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's Gorgo the Filthy. Isn't he I thought he was the king of the mucks, wasn't he?
Maybe.
I thought he was.
Oh, yeah, right here, because it says, those damn birds grab me from my throne, but I'll be the one impregnating their whore.
But he didn't quite make it.
No, he did not make it. And I think he flew in, and then that top cone that was floating slammed down behind
him. Slammed shut, right.
Yeah, because it says no way in. And so he's in there, and it says...
approach.
Approach. There's kind of a pit-looking thing in the middle. And he goes in there, and we see... Oh, well, now it's the royal wedding.
The royal wedding. Now, let me say this real quick. So there was an episode of Doctor Who of one of the new Doctors.
No, yeah.
I don't know if it was Tennant or the guy after Tennant, but there was there was a scene at like a space bar or something, right?
Yeah.
And it had like all these weird alien creatures there, right? Like two by two, like the guy and the mate or whatever.
Yeah.
And like the Doctor Who guy is walking around talking to him. And literally like one of them was like, think of like a rack with like lines going, and it was like a skin, like a tapestry kind of a skin, like,
oh,
but,
yeah,
but the skin talked.
I've seen that. There was some movie where I saw it's at, I want to say it's one of the Evil Dead movies where there was a skin. It was like a person's skin on a rack.
Yeah.
But it had a face and it was talking.
Well, I don't think it just had a face, but I don't think it had a face, but I mean, it had a mouth talking. And, you know, it was like a sentient being talking. And I think it was like the leader of whatever those things were. And this kind of a little bit kind of reminds me of that. Although this is more like a pool of liquid.
It's a pool with an eye and a mouth. It's a pool of goo.
Yeah, it's creeping him out.
He's like, come forward.
He can't take it.
It's like, make love to me. Yeah. He's like, drown yourself in my love.
He can't take it. But then what does it do?
Then
it changes its form to look like anima.
Oh, yeah, it's like, open your mind. It's like, oh. He's like, I can't. And on the ship, is that anima or temp?
No, that's anima right there.
That's anima?
And Metaburn are watching. And so this thing changes itself into anima. And so now all of a sudden he's changed his mind while the real anima and the Metaburn are watching it. And they both look disgusted. But it's what they wanted him to do.
That's what they wanted him to do.
It's a trap, John. Hush, anima, you're endangering the plan. Let him perform with his illusions.
Well, and it says, she says, except I'm better than anima. I love you. I want you. I'm your bride. Forget that frigid bitch. And her name is Barbara.
Yeah.
I guess it's like anima, but Barbara instead of...
Right.
You know, and anima does not like being called a frigid bitch.
So, but also, you know what that does, though? That kind of straightens her out, because after this, she starts liking him.
Yeah, exactly.
So he goes through with it, and he does the deed with this...
Proto-queen.
With the proto-queen.
With the vat of goop shaped like anima.
And she says, John, now that we've made love and that I've been impregnated, ready to procreate billions of new subjects, the truly sacred and wonderful time of your disintegration has come, when your beloved atoms will be... merged into the heart of the great cosmic mother. He's like, disintegration?
Yeah, what?
So he's like, okay, I've made it. I did what I was supposed to do. Wait, no, what?
Yeah, he hops up and he's zipping up his pants. And he goes, stop. He starts disintegrating. And he goes, stop. Got a better offer. You're better than my life. She's better than your life? And so he says, he tells her, she says, what dare you offer in exchange for your life? And he goes, I have something in my hand, the entire Berg Empire covets, the Inkle. And he manifests the Inkle, the conjoined Inkle of the Dark and Light Pyramid. And she says, the Inkle, give it to me now. And he says, okay, but you won't be able to touch it until you give me what I want first.
And it shocks her, or at least it...
Yeah, it kind of repels her.
Right.
Because ask for what you want, and you'll have it.
I like how he gets greedy. He's like,
yeah,
a small asteroid paradise with lots of flowers, bananas, beaches, and homeo sluts.
This is homeo whores of all colors.
Yep. and then his team goes, he's gone mad.
Yeah, they're like, what a jerk. And they say, you know what you have to ask for? And he goes, okay, I want Technogia. And she says... That nasty space mushroom, an odd request, not even a nice place. Now, which one's Technogia? It's the Techno Priest space station.
Right.
And then she tells him, I need more love.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, right at the last panel.
Oh, yeah.
First, my human form needs more love. Come, my Johnny, love me with all your passion.
No, mine says love me hard. Dear, love me hard.
And then we go, we see this, and then it says, we see the Medusa are approaching the sun, and the son has the shadow egg. It says the son has a strange state. That's because it's dying. So the son is dying. And so they get in there and they're able to they render it harmless, surrounded by a cocoon of solid plasma. So the Medusa are able to
neutralize
the shadow egg. And so then we go to, I guess this is.
But it doesn't say meanwhile here, but it's a meanwhile.
No, it doesn't say meanwhile, but it's the Technogia. They're realizing that these eggs are starting to disappear.
Right. And they're calling it a total catastrophe.
Yeah. And so then the Inkle shows up at the Technogia. There's an alert. There's the bird fleet. I guess the plan was, because she made the deal, the bird were going to take over the Technogia. But they're not worried that the psychic barrier to make them totally invulnerable there in the Technogia.
Right. And so you've got...
it's not working.
God, I can never remember this guy's name. Harlog, I think, is his name. Along with... And his girl's name is... Sterlog, yeah. And so they're kind of keeping, they're watching along with the techno.
Yeah, they're not, crazy. He's getting nervous, and she says, come on, big boy, suck it up. We must return to our ship and leave this stinking rat's nest behind.
Well, because it's getting ready to get attacked.
Yeah, it's getting attacked by the birds.
Yeah, so she wants to get out. Although, do you get in the ship and fly away? Don't they just shoot your ship down? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how you escape out of this at that point.
All right, so chapter 5, Virus Tenebrae.
Psycho Virus.
Okay.
Now, who's this guy? Is this a new guy?
Yeah, who is this? Oh, he says, I'm here to see my friends, Barbara Deer. Oh, because she's taking the form of a, no?
No, that's Tanith. Oh, is that the kid? No?
No.
This is John. Oh, okay, that's John. That's John DeFool. He looks different.
What's up with the collar?
I don't know.
I did not recognize him as John DeFool, but you're right.
He's drawn different there.
You have to turn a page further to find out. Well, wait, here it is. Depot's saying, hiya, John, over here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's basically a tube hooking two ships together.
Yeah, so...
And they're walking across the Metabaron and Tant... And it looks like Tanith.
No, it's Anima.
Is it Anima? Okay.
Well, it's Tanith, and then Anima shows up.
Yeah, and then
because
the Metabaron goes, congratulations, John, you played your part admirably. Metabaron, Tantith, Dippo, I thought I'd never see your ugly mugs again. Where's Anima?
And there she is on the next page.
And she kisses him pretty passionately for somebody who
didn't want to give him the time of day earlier. But the Proto Queen is not having any of this.
Yeah, she's watching this too.
She says, how dare you prefer her to me?
That mortal to me,
yeah. You can keep your ankle, I'll take your life instead. And John DeFool gets vaporized. Which is a weird turn of events, sort of, in this book.
No, because he's been cut up and reassembled before, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
This seems to be a... Yeah. And so now they're in the control room for the Inkle. I think that's what that is, where they're at.
Right. It's Tantith, Metabaron, and Killwoofhead. And the Inkle's talking to them.
Oh, yeah. Apparently the birds have left, and the Proto Queen has taken off, and they're saying, we won't see him again, but I guess that's the Inkle talking. It says, who knows? Pro Queen's found she has a heart after all. She experiences emotions. And so it says, a Berg Inkle has now begun a golden age indeed. And so the Metabaron says, it's a hollow victory. Anima's been depressed ever since John's disintegration. So apparently Anima has discovered that the jealousy of John DeFool impregnating the Proto Queen has stirred her up a little bit.
Oh, and then the Metabaron's like, he's basically saying, why would she want to, hang out with him.
Yeah.
You know, trying to say, you know, hang out with me instead. And,
right.
And the Inkle's like, it's useless, Meta Baron. Face the truth. Anima and John love each other. She'll never be yours.
Right.
And then he's like, he had this look on his face like he's trying to pass like a 3-pound turd.
Yeah. He's got his arms raised. On the next page, it's like he's frozen.
Right.
And then Tanith says, come to your senses, accept the loss of my sister. I'm here in her place.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. What does this mean?
And he says, you, and she says, let's join our energies and bring back that idiot John DeFool.
Let's join our energies. All right.
And so
they do.
Kill Wolfhead leaves, yeah. And you see him, and they literally are like, use psychic powers to bring him back. Well, in conjunction with the Inkle.
Yeah, they reform his body out of the atoms. They bring him back.
Yeah.
This is later on Aquiend.
So they're all back on Aquiend. And it looks like they're in the underwater city.
Mm-hmm.
With the, I guess that diamond shaped thing is like the
Traveling Inkle.
The Traveling Inkle.
Yeah, it would be the Meta Baron's son, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, then you've got John DeFool and Anima are back together.
Yeah, and they're swimming, floating through space. I'm not sure what they're doing.
Well, they're under the water with the Medusas.
Yeah, and you know, in a book that started off weird, at this point is where it started to get weird.
Just for you.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
Anyway, so they're swimming, and then they, I don't know where they go here, but they want to see the mega holiness, which is the conjoined twins and the egg. And they go through here, and this is that the Meta Baron's up front? No, it's Ramio, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It says, great Cosmo, his holiness. And then Depot is going, holy concrete. And the holiness, or whatever, the conjoined male, female, and the egg has become corrupted.
Imperatrix.
Yeah, the Imperatrix has become corrupted. It says, I hate you, blind lovers of stupid photons. By destroying the technos of my shadow eggs, you've achieved nothing. You only gain the ultimate wrath of my new master. Now prepare yourself to face his dark vengeance. And they're all kind of freaked out. And it does say that traitor Greyfield, which is the guy whose granddaughter was Crystal, infected the Empress with a Tanrib virus.
Right. So he, you know, once again, he was put up to no good.
Yeah. He says, I was only thinking of my granddaughter Crystal. Those monsters are going to destroy her. And then all of a sudden, a big monster, some big, I don't know what you call this thing, a shadow creature appears dwarfing all these people above this egg.
It looks almost like a spider, sort of.
Yeah.
Spider face.
Yeah.
And that's the end of book 4. Wowzers.
Yeah.
We still got 2 more books to go. All right, so we're into book 5. Book 5 is called The Fifth Essence.
Okay, so we've switched up, or I've switched up, because this is now volume 3 of the Epic books. If you picked it up in the Epic edition that Marvel put out years ago, this is the 3rd volume that they of the original reprints. I am now reading the same version you are, because you were reading these.
Right. Yep.
And so we're in the home stretch, so to speak.
Right.
One thing I want to say before we start this, I read the collected by the Humanoids does not have the introductions and the end notes that the individual volumes have, and so I read the final notes on this, and Mobius did say that he felt like this was his most American comic style piece of art or work that he's done. And what he meant by that was not necessarily the way he drew, because it doesn't really look much different than how Mobius normally draws all the time. But what he meant by that was that he drew like with big panels and big splash pages and stuff.
Oh yeah.
You know, so anyway, you ready to start?
Yeah, so chapter one's called Inhuman, and you've got that big creature we talked about wreaking havoc in that big room.
Yeah, the one that was over the Imprex or whatever.
Right, it's the Imprex is corrupted, so you've got this black shadow creature over it, and it's got black, it's almost like a Cenobite, like Venom.
Yeah.
Grabbing onto people and stuff.
Yeah, but and, a Medusa comes along.
Yeah, and sucks the whole thing in, right?
They say it's gone crazy. It's attacking the Imperatrix instead of helping him. But then apparently it just...
The dark plasma.
Yeah, you don't really see. It's almost in between panels. It just gets rid of the dark plasma.
It goes away.
And then they're talking about our enemy is the great darkness. It seems invincible, and it's like, didn't we just defeat it? It's like, defeat it.
Yeah, Remeriga's defeated.
Yeah, we barely stalled it. It says the darkness can strike anywhere at any time. The Inkle sent the Medusa just in the nick of time.
Yeah, and so John DeFool, enough! I've had it with all this. I agreed to be off the hook after the bird caper. Now we'll deserve vacation in some astral paradise with Anima. A vacation? What's that?
Yeah.
And once again, he's trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
He's throwing a little tantrum.
Yeah, he said, I hate this. It's like, nah, this is not me. This is not me.
And he calls Depo a stupid bird.
Yeah. And Depo's feelings are hurt.
Yeah. So he storms off, and Anima wants him to come back, and Metaburn's like, let him go. We don't need him.
Yeah.
He's played his part for now. And so did you see this guy, the turncoat, that his granddaughter's in Crystal, he has something to say, and Killwolf has, like, basically shut up.
Yeah.
But they let him speak. They do let him speak.
Yeah.
And he says he might know, where the space station's located at? Is that what they're looking for now?
Yeah, it's the War Star.
That's right, the War Star. And Tantus says, don't kill him, kill Wuffa. Don't kill him, kill. Don't kill him. Don't stop. Kill him, speak. And he's like, they threatened to smash her body to pieces, the poor child, but they took her there. And he can't remember where it's at, where the coordinates are. So they use the
computer. Yeah, he's wearing a thing on his head that looks like a mohawk, but it's some kind of computer thing.
Yeah, they enter it. And they, almost like a Matrix kind of thing.
Yeah, they hook him up. He's on an oxygen mask, and he's got his shirt off, and they got wires going all into him. And they find out it's hidden in an asteroid field. So so his plan works. And then we see John is on top of Medusa on the water there in... what's the name of the, wherever this,
Aqua. But look, it's calm.
It is calm now.
Yeah, it's calm. They're kind of sitting there like on an island, and Anima shows up, and she's kind of talking to him, but then she says, hey, we've got a plan for you. And he's like, I don't want to do it, no. And then she talks him into doing something for her.
Yeah, they wanted to infiltrate the War Star.
Right.
And like, so, don't worry, the Meta Baron's got it planned out. And he's just like, huh. He does not look happy to
but
be...
But how come nobody else goes on these missions but him? Because he's the fool.
He's the fool.
So he has to go with this Gray... What was this guy's name again? Greyherd, I believe.
Yeah.
So him and Greyherd are going to take a shuttle over to the War Star through the asteroid belt. And they get over there, and of course, there's guns on them and stuff. They say, I'm not armed. And they bring them in. Meanwhile, back at the Senate, this is on the Gold World, right?
yes. Oh yeah, they brought up the Medusa to the in front of the Senate or whatever this is.
Right.
Oh, you know why? It's because this is all that remains of our beloved Imperatrix. He's a prisoner of the enemy, a million times more dangerous than the birds. Oh, and it says only this Medusa can contain its threat.
Well, yeah, Romeo brings him to the Senate. Now, remember, Romeo's been sent off to the prison planet, but he shows up.
Yeah, he shows up with this big Medusa thing.
And the people are going, how could you bring that disgusting thing to the planet of our gold, the sacred imperial capital? It's so vulgar. Yeah. This is another one of Romeo's tricks. It's like, this isn't a trick. This is legit. He's like, unfortunately, this is impossible, but I beg you to believe me. All our strength is not marshaled at once against the War Star. We risk, if it's not marshaled, we risk, and what is it? Something's up there. Now, is this inside the Medusa?
Yeah, this is, well, I think so.
Yeah, it's the...
Oh, yeah, because the darkness is overpowering the Medusa, and it's that corrupted...
Imperex.
It says, you're powerless before me. I shall annihilate you and all your damned light. And apparently you see darkness coming out of the, whatever that is, the Senate chambers or whatever. It says, right. Quick, send for another Medusa.
Yeah. And so scene change. Now you're on the, what's this called? The War Star? And you've got Herlog? And Sturlog. And of course they've got John DeFool and Grayfield. They're tied up and they're questioning him about what are you guys doing here?
Yeah.
And then he's like, hey, Crystal, I want my granddaughter. And this is when John DeFool kind of gets an idea that maybe Grayfield's not such a good helper.
Yeah.
Because he calls him a goddamn traitor. Don't say a word, I'll kill you. He's like, Romeo and the Metabaran planned it all. The Inkles beside John DeFool. Starts spilling the beans.
Yeah. Oh, and apparently the Inkle is shrunk down and inside of him.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, so that was the plan, is they were going to, I guess, enlarge, and from John the Fool's kind of smuggling them in.
Mm-hmm.
And so the egg tangles with John the Fool. And so the ships are launching from the Inkle, right? They're in John the Fool.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, yeah, this is where, when I was reading this, I was kind of like, what in the world? But right there it says... So Grayfield says the Inkle's miniaturized inside John DeFool, and the Colonials are going to launch a massive assault on the War Star. And so then the Inkle, you see it says, we've been discovered. Oh, no, they're outside, because it says we can't do anything until the Imperial fleet gets here. And so they're waiting, so the ships are outside the War Star. And so they're coming.
It's Romeo.
It's Romeo, right.
Right. And
that's Anima, right?
Anima wants to go ahead and attack, and
right.
The Inkle tells her, no, you gotta wait.
Yeah, you gotta wait. And then she's like, no.
Yeah, and the reason why is because that black thing that was hanging over John DeFool in the torture room has entered his body, and it's like black tentacles or like spiny things are like shooting out of his eyes, his mouth, his body. It's like torturing him from the inside.
Right.
And then that Herlock guy's going, quick, give me some perfume. I think I'm going to faint just by watching it.
Yeah.
And then his girl with him is like, this is disgusting. This smells like shit. Yeah.
And so then, next chapter two is, I have seen it as it truly is.
Right.
And I don't know where, this says War Star... And there's astronauts.
I think they're on the surface of the War Star, right?
Oh, is that what that is? Okay.
I think so.
That's what I was thinking.
Because one of the ships comes like roaring right by it.
Okay. That's one of the attacking ships, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And then you've got these guys inside of it with the helmets on saying, it's the Imperial fleet. They're crazy to come out of subspace this close to target us. It's like committing suicide. Because remember, they were flying out there, and then so they wouldn't get shot down, they just popped in like really close.
No. So then we see inside, John DeFool is being tortured by one of the dark eggs. And, you know, did you notice when you were reading this, this one guard is like a tiger.
I saw it kind of reminded me of like King Tufton from Commandy.
Yeah, it's like
where'd that come from?
I don't know. I don't know if it's something that I missed or.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we see him again. I think it's like a one-off.
Maybe Mobius was reading some Commandy when he drew that page.
Okay, so you see the Inkle, and it says it's time let's go, and Animus says finally, and then. The Metabarons, thank God, are we ready? And you know, Kill's like, ready. And then, so now they're unleashing they're taking the shots, you know.
Well, we see outside that these ships are attacking the War Star. And right. Then inside there's like a control center where all these, I don't know what you call them, like pilots or whatever, are kind of directing things. Because it says the central control computer room, or the central computer room.
It kind of reminded me almost like Mission.
Yeah, Mission Control.
Mission Control on a rocket.
Well, you know, there's a big panel here, but there's nothing on that panel.
Well, yeah, the screen's blank.
The screen is blank, so I don't know, you know.
Well, he drew it when they just had a lens flare.
No, yeah.
Normally, I didn't, before there's something to see there, but it's like a flare.
Yeah, you know, I didn't switch in the other book and see if it was in the new translation, if there was something there.
That'd be weird.
Yeah. And so right, John so DeFool is covered with this black plasma.
Yeah, completely black now. Okay, so what you find out is, if it completely covers him, he's doomed. And so you find out that they've got it.
Like in Goldfinger.
Yeah, exactly. They've got a touch of something on his body that doesn't have the black on it, and so what they find out, there's like one hair. Depo finds one hair that's still free.
Yeah, there's a hair follicle. We see like a looks like a microscope. Mobius must have looked up what a hair looked like under a microscope,
right?
Because it looks like pictures I've seen of hair under a microscope.
And the black like venom creature's kind of running up, trying to get to the end of the hair to completely cover it, but. What happens?
They come out. It says they get enlarged to normal size fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Techno Freeze is like, the Inkle, we see John DeFool and he's all covered in black and there's like the Inkle symbol over his head. And the Techno Freeze says, the Inkle's trying to escape. And all of a sudden you see it get bigger in this little thing there. And they tell the Purple Guard to attack. And you see the Inkle just blasting them. And they're all running. It's kind of mayhem. And every successive panel gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I do like this shot right here.
With the Inkle real big and them flying in their little spheres.
Right. And you've got that Herlock guy trying to get the hell out of there with this girl. And the guy that's the Greyfeld's trying to stop him because he wants his granddaughter back.
Yeah. It's like, you gotta, and we see her, and he's like, you gotta unfreeze Crystal for me.
And you know what, when I was reading this, you know what this story reminded me of? Which is funny, because his stuff reminds me of Mobius, but really this reminded me of his stuff, even though he came so much later. But it starts, as this goes along, this starts reminding me more and more of Brandon Graham.
Oh, yeah.
But it would really be Brandon Graham reminding me of Mobius, but there gets to be some panels in here, like, let me just give you one, this real quick. It's a little bit ahead of where we're at, but that panel right there, Brandon Graham drives stuff.
Oh, yeah, he does. A bunch of small figures.
Right, in a big scene. But anyways, I just saw this. I was like just thinking about that. And when I was reading it, I was really thinking about it. But if you turn the page, it's got Greyfield grabbing on to Sherlock, and he's calling her a bitch, and he wants his granddaughter back, and wants her taken out of the crystal, and they get into kind of a fist fight. And she falls backwards at him.
He punches her in the nose.
Yeah.
Knocks her backwards, and she knocks over the frozen granddaughter, and she breaks into a bunch of pieces.
Shatters. Meanwhile, that Herlock guy's just sitting there watching it. He's like, oh.
He's like, what have I done? Or Greyfield is like, what have I done?
Yeah. And then, of course, scene change again, and you get, like, the big battle scenes.
See, I think this page right here with... what is a Wolfhead Kill? Kill Wolfhead?
Kill Wolfhead, Depo, and all that.
And yeah, I think that's what Mobius is talking about by his, some of the most American style stuff he's done, because it's all action. They're shooting up the Berg ships, and Right. You know. This is the part where I was like, this is just a bunch of craziness.
Yeah, it does get pretty crazy. So Anima goes to help John. He may be dead. He's sizzling.
Yeah, he's smoking. He's all covered in black.
Right.
And she's like, the monsters, look what they've done to him. My poor darling.
Yeah.
Him impregnating the Proto Queen is really... turned on the charm on Anima.
Which, you know, other women, I think, if they saw you messing with somebody else...
Even if they look like him.
That would cut you off from them. But it really endeared her to him, you know? Mm-hmm. It, like, imprinted him onto her, you know?
Well, I think what it did is, because the Proto Queen was like, I'll take the shape of whatever you most want or whatever. And it was her, so he realized... Sure, she realized...
She already knew that, though.
Well, I know, but, you know.
At least he's always professed his love for her, but maybe she didn't believe it.
Maybe not.
Okay, so you get Herlog and Strelog running away, trying to get to, like, a exit ship, and she gets shot, and she goes down.
Well, she gets shot. She turns to ice, or crystal. Right. She gets shot with whatever... turned into crystal, and then she falls
and shatters.
And shatters, or she turns into ice, it says. But she looked just... Oh, I guess she was ice, because she's melting in the later ones. And so, the falls and breaks, and what's his name, Herlog?
Yep.
Is like, oh my gosh. And he goes, and so, Greyfield says, Crystal, you've been avenged. He says, now you understand what real pain is, Herlog. And he's like, is it possible? No. And so Herlog stabs Greyfield with a piece, a sharp piece of one of the two, the crystal or the Sturlog, at the same time that he gets shot and turned to crystal. He falls over, Greyfield dies from the stab wound. So
Herlog shatters into a bunch of pieces.
Yeah.
Now, this panel here where they do the shot and the stab at the same time, that reminded me out of something out of, not Brandon Graham, but like maybe Simon Roy out of Prophet.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little Prophet feel to it, the way it's drawn.
Oh, yeah.
But once again...
I think both of those guys are big Mobius fans.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
So the Depot and Killwolf and Metabaron, they arrive at the central computer... And I don't know who this is. They're all kind of shooting at it, blowing it up. And all of a sudden, we see that the War Star, all the guns are dead. All the big rifles outside, they're like, it's all dead. And then it says, Mothership, they've stopped firing. They've done it. That's it. They've done it. And so these aren't Berg. I don't know who these guys. That's Ramio.
Yeah, Ramio.
Ramio. And
because he's kind of leading the fleet, and
right?
Then, and his controller guy's like, you know, he thought they're going to get wiped out. Remy was like, we got to stay with it, and so like, oh, we made it. We're not going to, you know, basically not going to get killed. And then you got Anima, and she's over there trying to give mouth to mouth to John DeFool, and he wakes up.
Yeah, and he's like, kiss me again. and Metabaron's like, he's gone crazy.
Yeah,
because she's like, it's in the right time. And Tanith goes, maybe we should cut his. And she's like, no. He's under the influence of the darkness. He'll get well soon.
Yeah.
So they're kind of mopping up things here. And so then all the lights go out.
Right. It gets totally black in this room. And it's because the... it's a techno priest, techno pope. He's flying around. It's not because of that, but he's flying around shooting, and you get the Inkles battling him, and then the Inkle opens up, and Sun Moon comes out. Now, yours actually says Sun Moon, not Saloon, right?
No. I'm in the other book.
I know. So that's what I'm saying. You're onto the Sun
Moon. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He can fly, so he flies up to where this... I think he's just a techno priest, not the techno pope.
Yeah.
But they kind of lock into like a some kind of fight here. And you've got our group, and our group's going down. It looks like they're going down an escalator or down some stairs.
Yeah.
Down, down, down.
Yeah, it's like, look, you can trust
still,
me.
Still in the dark, though.
Yeah. And then we see the fight between the, I don't know if it's the techno pope or the techno priest or whatever, but Saloon pulls the hat off, or his helmet off, and I do not know what's going on. I mean, I know that...
Well, he's a skeleton underneath.
Yeah, he's a skeleton underneath, and there's a black egg, there's a shadow egg, or a black, that spidery form. And then, then we get to this thing where Saloon or Soul Moon is approaching the great darkness. And it says, Inkle, my favorite son, approach. I've waited you with such impatience. Inkle, what's happening? Have you abandoned me? Am I lost? And it says, your light no longer frightens me. Inkle, you're here at last. The cursed light brought back. And Saloon, or Sun Moon, becomes this great ray of light. And then the lights come back on. And this door
is opening. It pushes the darkness out is what I took it as.
Yeah.
And then Kilwifa gets the lights back on. Look, the door's opening. Because they'd went down the stairs and they found this big, like, a vault door.
Yeah.
And it opens. And so our heroes are all going to go through it, right?
Yeah.
And then at the very, very end of this chapter, the Sun Moon's talking. He says, I saw the great darkness below. I saw it as it truly is. I broke the barrier. Oh, God. The universe is now in deadly danger.
Yeah. So
you're like, well, I thought we just fixed
this. Yeah, didn't we just, you think you're done, you're not done.
All right, and we're going to end it right there. So we'll have the rest of book 5 to do, and then all of book 6, and we're going to wrap this thing up.
Yeah.
But I really think book 6 could potentially go a little faster. We'll see.
Yeah, there's a lot of bigger panels.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. And there's not quite as many pages either, I think, in 5 and 6, yeah. A little bit less pages. So.
The Inkle is definitely a commitment to read.
It is a commitment to read. There's a lot of people in it, a lot of characters, a lot of environments, a lot of scene changes, lot of big ideas.
I do not see how they're going to make this a movie.
I'm glad it's animated. I think the animated might actually work.
Yeah, it's...
And I feel like some of these characters will be composites of each other.
Yeah, that surely the group won't be as... Wolfhead Kill or Kill Wolfhead or whatever, I don't think they'll be in it. I mean, that's a character you could lose pretty easily. Even the Meta Baron you could really kind of lose. You just need one...
Kill Wolfhead is only needed, really, at the very, very start...
Right, but
you just need a guy to kind of jumpstart the whole action. He doesn't have to be.
They could combine the Meta Baron and Kill Wolfhead's role.
You don't necessarily need. Remember, there's like the 6 or 7. You don't really need the 6 or 7.
No.
But if they wanted the 6 or 7, they'd, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and so lose Anima's sister. You don't really need her.
Well, do you need the 6 or 7 characters, or do you just need? Because later on you're going to come up with, like, Remeo or people like that you can make in, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it being where Remeo and that whole group, the stuff they do is like our group.
Yeah, maybe.
I think if they switch up groups like that, it'll be confusing.
Maybe.
I could see it being, instead of Remeo or Remeo confronting the council... I bet there's not a switch. You know, there's kind of a switch like, oh, no, it's us.
Yeah.
I think they'll just confront the council about what they're doing or whatever. And I think it'll be John DeFool and Anima and probably the Meta Baron.
Well, if you did all that, you streamlined it, you could definitely take an hour out of it at least, if not more, right? I don't think it's going to be a feature.
Oh, easily.
Is this a feature? Or is this like several episodes? Or what is this? I don't know.
Well, to do it justice, it had to be like a animated series. You know, one of the complaints that I've had about some of these television series, specifically the Marvel ones, is I thought some of them, they kind of stretched the story a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
Well, when you think about, like, oh, we're doing a, you know, 6-episode hour an episode television series, it's like, do they really have like three movies worth of material here?
Well, maybe.
I mean, I don't know. I think there's a lot of filler in some of them, but yeah. They could do the Inkle as this, you know, I don't know if it's six would cover it.
Right.
But there's enough for six, I think, probably.
All right, let's wrap this episode up right here. As always, I've been your host, D.L. Nelson, joined by my other host,
Scott Sackett.
Do come back next week for the all new episode. Check out our blog at betterthanfictionthepodcast.blogspot.com.
And if you enjoyed this podcast, please take a second to leave a review and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. This will help other people find the podcast.
Yes, it will. And like I said, come back next week for another all-new episode. And read the Inkle if you dare.
If you dare.
With that, we'll say see ya later.